Let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, we gather this morning before you as your family, and we ask you to empower each one of us as your servants and call us according to your will. Show us the way you would have us go. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. We are always standing at a certain crossroad. Always. The Lord God of Israel, in his calling to Jeremiah the prophet, had this to say: Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Perhaps God has known all along that this crossroads was waiting for each one of us. Perhaps the real adventure that lies in store for us is the discovery of something that God has known and intended all along. His vision for us as a follower, committed to action, called to change the world, or at least this tiny corner of it, in Jesus' name. There was a time for any of us who have been baptized, and those of you who have not been baptized, your time will come, when for just a moment, the angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven fell silent, and all eyes were focused upon you as God's gift was given in water and the Holy Spirit, and you were marked as Christ's own forever. And you were called according to his purpose and empowered to be a servant. Jesus best describes his servants using the language of metaphor and poetry. You are a light that shines in the darkness. You are a leaven causing the dough to rise. You are salt, which gives flavor to the world around you. You are a Samaritan on the road. You are God's hands and God's feet. If his word is to be spoken, he must use your mouth to speak it. You are called to know him and to make him known. God knew, as the baby Moses was drawn from the reeds of the Nile River, exactly what his intentions for this child would be. It was not until years later, however, that Moses would fully understand that intention, as he stood barefoot and awestruck before the burning bush in the wilderness, thinking he was hearing voices, which of course he was. Make no mistake about it, that bush is still burning. I am called to be a servant, and so are you. God seeks to have his way with us. Do you hear his voice? whispering to you? And so, that crossroad. To better inform that sense of calling, I would like to discuss several qualities that are true of servants. Some of them are natural qualities, the kind any human being can have, and several are supernatural qualities, which come to us only as a gift from God. To know Christ and to make him known requires both kinds. First, the natural ones. Know where you're going and how you're going to get there. In other words, to be a servant of Christ is not so much a feeling as it is a choice, built not upon the shifting sands of circumstance, but upon the rock of decision. Deep relationships, like the relationship with Christ, requires a deep decision, built not upon feelings or infatuation, but rather upon our choice to make it work. To be such a servant, to know Christ and to make him known, cannot be left to chance. It requires a firm decision. Second, we must be realistic. We must know our environment and know how to change it. A number of years ago, I saw an interview with Mother Teresa of Calcutta. This interviewer asked her, "How do you keep from being constantly discouraged by the vast needs that surround you here in Calcutta? So much hunger, so much disease, so much death." And her answer? "It's really very simple," she said. "I will bring Calcutta to Christ one person at a time. Each day, I take one person, one baby, one child, one adult, and I care for that one person. And I love them, I wash them, I feed them, and I hold them in my arms until they begin to live or until they die, one at a time." She went on to say, "Look around you in your own country, in your own city, your own home. You will find the same needs there. People who need to be loved and washed and fed, and held in your arms. We each have people all around us who need to be brought closer to Christ, one at a time." In other words, being a servant means taking initiative, making a decision, knowing our environment, having a plan to change it. Let me speak now of spiritual desire. To be a servant means we must be led by our desire for God. The psalmist said, "My heart and soul thirst for the Lord." Desire. When we thirst, it's most natural to want to seek refreshment. In the same way, the spiritual strength of Christ's servant comes not in our continual desire to be refreshed and satisfied by his presence, but to live out our deepest desire to receive the gifts he freely gives, both joyful and painful, for you cannot have one without the other. To accept his will and live in unity with his people. This is not easy, for there will be times of great joy and great sorrow. C.S. Lewis described it this way. He said, God is like a great sculptor, and we are his work of art. Yet to be formed in his perfect image, he must be able to shape and change us. Each blow of the hammer and chisel may cause excruciating pain, but only by accepting that pain can we hope to become the masterpiece that he envisions. We have all undoubtedly this morning brought some of that pain with us. And we remember all too well those moments of deep suffering. You know the pain which is hidden in your heart. There have been times when I truly thought my entire life would be measured in losses. The death of my son Joseph, the loss of a career, the loss of the ability to easily walk and use my right hand, which I used to write with. Not anymore. But then someone close to me would become the hands and feet of God, and his word would be spoken through them, loving me, washing me, feeding me, holding me in their arms until I began to live again, renewing my desire, my thirst for him once more. Thank God for those people in my life who have chosen to accept the role of servant, and especially my beloved wife, Gail, who has been for me truly the handmaid of the Lord. In addition, servants are those who relate to others with empathy, who see the world as God sees it, and recognize in others no less than Jesus himself. As you do to the least of these, Jesus said, you do it to me. Those who know Christ and seek to make him known will see with different eyes and hear with different ears. There will be moments of recognition as God rubs elbows with us, so to speak, in the places we go, in the people we meet. Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist, and he was imprisoned in Auschwitz, the concentration camp, during World War II. He functioned there among the prisoners as a medical doctor. He wrote a book entitled Man's Search for Meaning about his experiences during the war. You may have heard me tell this story because it's one of my favorites. It's pure poetry. It concerned a young woman he met while administering medical care in one of the wards. He writes, "This young woman knew that she would die within the next few days. But when I talked to her, she was cheerful in spite of this knowledge. Listen to this. "I'm grateful for these painful times," she said. "When I was younger, I was spoiled and didn't take the spiritual realities of life very seriously." Pointing to the through the window of the hut, she said, "This tree here is the only friend I have had in my loneliness." Through the window, she could see just one branch of a chestnut tree, and on the branch were two blossoms. "I often talk to this tree," she said to him. He was startled and started thinking like a psychiatrist and didn't know how to respond. Was she having occasional hallucinations? Anxiously, he asked her if the tree had ever replied to her. What did she say? What did it say to her? She answered, "It said to me," this is the chestnut tree speaking, "It said to me, I am here, I am here, I am life, eternal life." For those who chose to know Christ and seek to make him known, there will be moments of intense insight, of startled recognition, as we will grow to see and hear Jesus in all the world around us. Our role as servants will provide the context in which that growth can occur. As we grow, we learn to trust less and less in ourselves and more in the gifts he has given us. We become as clay shaped in the hands of the potter, bearing his fingerprints upon us and given over to his gracious will. As St. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we are no better than pots of earthenware to contain this treasure. And this proves that such transcendent power does not come from us, but is God's alone. The power does not come from us. It comes from him. Amen. And if you are moved this morning to step forward and embrace Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please come forward as we sing.